Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody could get out of the dark and gray and moist and chilly. Yeah, it's definitely lay in bed and do nothing sort of day. But you know what? It's another day the Lord's made, and we're here to acknowledge that in all that we say and do. All right, Philip, come on up here and say something.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I don't have much this morning. God is good, absolutely. And, you know, I know for me, I reach points where I'm utterly exposed of who I am and how ugly I am. And that all that does is it brings me to a Psalm 51 aspect where my sin is ever before me.
Amen.
And, you know, all I have is His grace.
That's right.
And that's all I can stand on. There's nothing else I can stand on but Him.
Rock bottom, solid ground.
Rock bottom, solid ground. But in the midst of these trials and these tribulations, sometimes, man, it's like getting your house knocked back down, and you go, well, maybe that wasn't founded on what it needed to be founded on, or it wouldn't have got knocked down. But praise the Lord. He's good.
Amen.
And He loves us.
Amen.
And that's what I got to rely on.
Well, all that is true. It does good serve as a good reminder, because what we see here is the operation of the gospel. Where Philippians says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. The operation of the gospel manifesting itself in us. Sometimes it doesn't look too pretty, but the truth of His word is always the truth of His word. And those of us who have done this for a little while, and I don't pretend to have exhaustive experience at it, but I have some, it is with great trepidation that I quote the latter half of 1 Peter 4, because one of the things that you can be assured of when you stand up here and start preaching to people, be thinking not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, is the operation. That's how you, the trials are meant to expose you. And to you stand, therefore, out of Ephesians 6, as Brad was talking about the other night, having done, therefore, all to stand, everything to stand, stand, therefore. Boy, I've massacred that. But that's in when you're successful and you've passed the trials. The trials are about proving your faith. Where is it? You stand if you can stand in Ephesians. If you can't, you go to James on your knees. Count it all joy,
amen,
my brethren, when you fall in diverse temptations or trials. Some of them are fire and they don't look good. But that is the gospel, the truth of God's word proven out in us. And we need to be proven. We need to be proven reliable, trustworthy, especially those who have, and this is going to be one of the most scattered, fractured, especially, we'll go to Hebrews 13. I don't know if I want to go there first. Hang on, hold that thought. As I'm listening to, and I'll come back to that, as I'm listening to the word, especially in a 3 or 4 book cluster there, I hear something 4 times. And that gets my attention. And what I heard was in Peter, which is where I had the pen, and I can, now the pen is in my hand and the mark is not there. I don't know why I took the pen out. And it's in 1 Peter 4. But it's the setup to the be not surprised at the fiery trials. The setup is, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That's how this chapter opens. In verse 7 it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober, therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. Then we have 1 John 2, 17 and 18. And the world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. It's the last time. It's the last days. You have 2 Peter. In the last days, many scoffers will come. In 1 Timothy 4, in the last days, many mortal depart from the faith. In 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, many will turn away from the faith. So how many times, and as we sit there and we read through that 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3, how many of what it says is going to happen is happening right this minute? How many of us can see us right in the middle of what it's talking about? They were right in the middle of it almost 2,000 years ago. Whatever can be said about those things, it is true, truer today than it was then. And it was entirely true then. Everything that's post-resurrection is in the last days. The ministry according to the last days is the same sort of ministry. But this is stuff we have to get worked out. And there's an urgency to it that the King James Elizabethan kind of diminishes in its understatement. But there is urgency to it. And one of the other verses that came to my mind, and it was while we were singing, is Matthew 7:24. Therefore, and this is a second witness. This is Jesus talking, but Peter, James says it later. Whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon rock. Rock. Build your house on the rock. When you're on the solid ground, you're in a good place. It may not appear that way at all times, but the rains come and you still stand in there. And there's security in having your legs wrapped around having your arms wrapped around the legs of Jesus Christ. Your face may be getting down in the water every now and then, but you'll make it.
Amen.
And all that brings me to, because I wanted to read through 1 John, and I wanted to read through, several other places where so much good stuff. Peter, I may yet go through Peter. I haven't decided. Peter chapter 2. Lord, help me out here. 3. What did I say? I was on 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What do we know about the flesh? The flesh is at enmity with God. Amen. It resists everything that God has for you.
Amen.
It cannot receive and cannot be a partaker of heavenly things. It is not going to inherit the kingdom. It's cursed. When your flesh is suffering, it's because you've put on the new man and you're not feeding it anymore. That's going to cause it to suffer. And Jesus, you're not doing anything Jesus hadn't done for you before. Jesus had to do it all.
Right.
He came as a man, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. Boy, there's too many syllables in that for me. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account unto him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And what we're setting up here is we're setting up where your trust and where your hope is as you watch the operation. If you sit there, you receive teaching, you receive His Word, you read His Word, can you become doers of the Word? And the better you are at doing the Word, the stronger the operation of the Gospel is in your life, and the more able you are to stand in that evil day. And you, all right, so you fall. So what? You take James chapter 1, and you take the Lord at his offer. Take him up on it. Blessed are you when you fall into diverse temptations. Ask of the Lord, and he will give liberally to you wisdom. He'll give you discernment. This is about teaching you how to stay, teaching you how to stand, and however many times you have to count it all joy. However many times, that's good. It's all right. Avail yourself of His grace and His mercy and take it and run while the getting is good. Take it and run and thank Him for it. Let's go to Hebrews 13. And this is going to sound a lot like Romans 13. It is a lot like it. You spend a lot, 11 chapters in Hebrews explaining Hebrew history. Especially to Gentiles who are probably not terribly familiar with it. But the Hebrews he's talking to are. And it makes sense to them. And it's not going to hurt the Gentile readers to pick up on some of the significance of all the other stuff that has gone before. 12 and 13, a little more straightforward. But the setup is all that went before, especially 10 and 11. 10 and 11 are integral. They're absolutely part of the setup. 13, let brotherly love continue. 1 John says, they'll know us by what? He who hates his brother and says he loves God is
a liar.
A liar. And? Absolutely. So those five words, there's a lot involved in those first five words of 13. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Those angels are ministers, especially apostles and prophets. Especially. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, be mindful of them. The Lord brings them to your mind. Pray for them. Support them every way you can. Give empathy to them. Be doers of the brotherly love thing. Do it. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, that's one of those promises we can hang on to with dear life. And if you're not in a good place right now, it's not him that moved. Not him that moved. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Or their goal and purpose in serving the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. None of this stuff's going to change. This is the way it's always going to be. These are the things you're always going to need to do. You're going to wake up every day, it's going to be the same. No change in this. This is how it works. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And the priest can't eat of the sacrifice. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, because they become cursed. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, outside of the camp gates, bearing his reproach. That means as you go out there, those who cheered him on as he was getting nailed on the cross, crucify him, crucify him, he bore their reproach. You're going to get some of that out there, especially if you're doing business with the Lord. Because those who are pretending are going to look to justify themselves. And if they can do that at your expense, they're going to keep trying. It's part of that pharisaical spirit that seeks to justify itself and its position and its place at all expense. And they're the ones who, knowing better, consented to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Knowing who he was, they consented. How much different do you think you're going to be than them? You're going to bear his reproach. But that's why it says, and I lost it. Ah, there it is. 6. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. You take that outside the camp. That's the driving force behind this. I don't care what man can do to me. The Lord is not a jerk. God is not a jerk. This may become the South Carolina God is not a jerk ministry. I don't know. But God is not a jerk. For here we have no continuing city. In other words, we can't plant our feet anywhere. This whole thing's turning around. There's no telling. And if it's true then, it's even more true now. Who knows, man? Looks like the world out there is falling apart. They've run out of OPM. There's no more other people's money, man. Things are fixing to drop off of something is what it looks like. But you know, if they kept wandering around from place to place, the water ran out here, it's time to move on. We got to go somewhere else, right? I don't know. But you know, we get hung up. And I was talking to Robin earlier this week. Sometimes, especially when we get to feeling like nobody's noticing enough of the good stuff that I do. They're all picking on me for all this other stuff. And we can get hung up. The Lord took Moses above the cloud. And he said, you know, Moses is mad at the people. And the Lord took him above the cloud and looked down and said, what do you see? He said, I see a righteous people. What happened here? When we're looking at each other, we need to be looking through the cloud down it and not under the cloud at each other. That cloud is what the Lord looks through, is Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Amen. That is what they're covering, and in such a similar way, it is ours. Better hope when he looks at you, he looks through the cloud. Right?
Amen.
It just, none of us can stand. Not here in the flesh. We're all bums.
Right.
One way or the other. That was a little side. Perhaps we have no continuing city. Listen, we ain't got anything without Jesus. And at least we have his promise that he will never leave or forsake us. And that's a good thing. That's a God that is not a jerk. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Amen.
Praise him. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's to minister to the need of the ministers. That's all that's about. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It sounds an awful lot like Romans 13, doesn't it? Which we have recently looked at. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. That's something you got a will to do. You got to choose it. Because it's not natural. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that is that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that, you know, that is the thing. That all this is leading up to. And even doing that for which we were created to do is something that if we don't have him working with us, we are unable to please him. We're unable to please him. Working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Without him working in us, if we pulled ourselves aside, we have nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing. And everybody, including God, sees us clearly instead of through the cloud of righteousness. And it's not a pretty sight how we really are. But we get an opportunity every now and then to prove ourselves as being able to stand and thank God for it, or needing his grace and mercy. Take it, run, praise him for it.
Amen.
He's good. 1 Corinthians 10, God has not tempted us beyond that which we're able, but with the temptation will also provide a way out, that we may be able to bear it. The way out is Jesus within. The way out is Jesus within. The way out is with Jesus within. I don't know. I can't say it enough. The witnesses of Scripture are compelling. Time is of the essence. Get your heart right with the Lord. You have the Word, you have his ministers, and you have the brethren. Seek to be available to all three. And let the Word be proved out in testimony of how good he is. He wants to show himself. He wants to teach you his ways, and he's here to do it. That's all I got. Father, I just praise you for this day. Praise you for the opportunity to speak about your goodness and your love and your mercy and our need for every little single morsel of it. Lord, that our hearts may be right before you. And we may be found to be well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.